where there were words in this hymn, we sing, "My zeal inspire." We're singing, we're asking God, "Hey, fill me with zeal." And then the next line, it says, "Be thou my guide." Well, those two thoughts are really very relevant to God's word today. We're going to turn back to this letter to the church in Ephesus, Ephesians 5:15-21, where God tells us we need to be redeeming the time. He tells us it's time to walk carefully. That's the main theme of this whole text, is it's time to walk carefully. Nobody likes to work under pressure. You young people in high school, you know what it's like to have a paper due. You know, you maybe you're given a week to write that paper, but you know, it's so hard to get inspired until Thursday night, right? When the pressure's on, and suddenly all the ideas start flowing and you get that paper done. Well, it's the same way with us adults, okay? We have projects and things we want to do, but other priorities come, and next thing you know, we're right there in, what do we call it, the 11th hour. But do you ever notice how efficient you are in the 11th hour? Do you ever notice how many things you get done when the pressure is really on? Now, nobody likes to work under pressure. We don't like that. And especially, we don't like to work under other people's pressure. In other words, you know, I don't want your emergency to be my emergency, right? We've all heard that. But the truth is, you all work best under pressure. All of us do. It's the way God made us. Matter of fact, you can look at human biology, which is the way God made us, and science tells us, and by the way, those of you who know me, I love science. Everything in science points right to God. Science tells us why we work best under pressure. And it's one little word, adrenaline. That's right, John got it. It's adrenaline, which is really two other chemicals. It's one name for two chemicals, and I'm going to leave them out of it, but we'll just call it adrenaline. In times of crisis, and that means even little crises, like pressure, you know, to get something done in the 11th hour. Whenever you're under, we oftentimes call it stress, but whenever the pressure is on, your body excretes adrenaline. Now, most of us know adrenaline is that chemical that our bodies creates when the bear steps out of the wood, right? And I got to decide, am I either going to fight or am I going to run, right? Fight or flight, that's what they call it. Well, either way, that's what adrenaline is for. Adrenaline flows into your body. It changes literally every organ of your body, so that you are prepared to fight for your life or run for your life, right? Well, in times of stress or times of when the pressure is on, your body still excretes adrenaline into your body. And my wife and I were studying stress and how this works, and it's funny how God brings all these things together, because that's what he's talking about in his word here. God says, walk carefully. Redeem the time. But before we get to that, I'll give you one example. Adrenaline is so amazing. It's two chemicals together, but every organ in your body responds differently depending on its purpose. So, for example, adrenaline hits your lungs, and all the capillaries in your lungs are made much, much more soft and supple so they can expand, and you can bring in tremendous amounts of oxygen because you're going to need it. This same adrenaline works on your capillaries and your veins and hardens them. It's the same drug, but it does something totally different, totally opposite. It hardens them so that they can handle the pressure, the higher blood pressure your heart's going to be pumping. Here's something else it does. It causes your blood to multiply coagulant so that if you get cut, you don't bleed to death or you bleed less. but it affects your mind, your heart, your eyes. You ever notice that when you're in an emergency, everything seems to slow down? I guarantee you time isn't slowing down. Your brain is speeding up, okay? And you can solve solutions, and you can make decisions. Now. It's because of adrenaline, which is the way God built you so that you can handle emergencies. And you can handle pressure. By the way, we don't want to live that way, okay? That's no way to live all the time because, you know, stress will eventually wear you out, right? It kills you. But in today's text now, God is trying to wake us up that there's a crisis in our day. You know, in the hymn we sang, fill me with zeal. Okay? God is trying to do that through his word today. He wants us to be, if you will, he wants us to be optimized. He wants us to get a little bit of adrenaline going because we are in a crisis and we don't even know it. He wants us to make the most of the time we have right now. He wants us to absolutely make the most of the time that we have. Well, let's look again at this text, Ephesians 5, 15 to 21. He says, see then that you walk carefully, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time because these days are evil. Therefore, do not be unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord is. And do not be drunk with wine, which is dissipation, but be filled with the Holy Spirit, speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things to God the Father in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, submitting to one another in the fear of God. God says it's time to walk carefully. Right now, today, it's time to walk carefully. God calls us to be very cautious today in these times, because if we're not careful today, in these days, we are going to suffer terrible consequences. Bad things will happen. Very bad things will happen. God says we must walk carefully. He says, first of all, how do we do that? How do we walk carefully? He says, first of all, you must walk in wisdom. Walk in wisdom. Second of all, he says, you must redeem the time. But third, and just as importantly, he says you are to thank him for all that he's provided you. That's really important. In your walk, thanking the Lord. Well, let's look at the first thing God says. He says, walk in wisdom. In verse 15, he says, it's time to walk carefully, not as fools, but as wise. And he tells us why in verse 16. He says, redeem the time, because these days are evil. The sense of this text is that we should be walking with utmost care in our daily lives, recognizing that we are surrounded by danger. Do you think about that? We don't. That's why God's trying to talk to us. I remember once when I was in the Navy and I was back at the Pentagon, I was outside in Washington, D.C., and had just been hit by a terrible storm. We had like pouring rain, which turned to freezing rain, which turned to snow. And so there I was standing on the corner outside the Pentagon. I was a Navy captain. I had my bridge coat on and my briefcase, and I know I'm standing on snow, but underneath the snow it's like glass, right? And I'm standing there waiting across the street, and all I did was like turn just to look to see if oncoming traffic was coming. That's all I did. I just turned to look like 40 degrees to look to see the oncoming traffic. The next thing you know, I'm laying on my side in the snow. It was so dangerous, it was so slippery that just turning my body changed my center of gravity and down I went. I looked pretty funny. You know, here's this captain all spread out in the snow in front of the Pentagon, right? What are you going to do? Hey, it's life. Well, God tells us these days are evil, and we need to be walking carefully, not like fools, but in wisdom. Well, wisdom is a funny thing. We're not born with it. You know what the definition of wisdom is? Wisdom is accumulated knowledge that you use to make good decisions. You know people who are wise. They're usually people with lots of experience, you know. Either they've experienced a lot of bad things or they've been taught and they know how to make good choices. And you know what the definition of a fool is. A fool is someone who consistently makes poor choices and they're always suffering the consequences of their choices, right? Well, wisdom is not something you're born with. It's something that you have to learn. And you have to learn from somebody who knows. Or you learn by your own bad experiences. Now, you may remember 2 years ago, we all went ice fishing, thanks to David, who invited us all out onto the lake. I've been in Minnesota for 10 years, and I've been wanting to go ice fishing for a long time. But when I was down in seminary down in Minneapolis, we have Medicine Lake down there. I used to watch the men, you know, put up their ice shacks and fishing on the ice, and always, I don't know, you know, I'm a sailor. I like having when I'm on the water, I like having a boat under me. But these guys are driving their trucks and stuff out there. Well, I was there for almost 4 years, and I saw at least three of those trucks go right through the ice into the lake. And by the grace of God, praise the Lord, these men swam out. But, you know, up here, even in our own Lake of the Woods, we've had tragedy just these past 2 years. We've lost families in the ice, right? I wasn't going to go ice fishing until I could go out with somebody who knew what they were doing, okay? Someone with wisdom who knows how strong the ice is, where you can go, where you shouldn't go. I was very grateful for David. It was my first trip out on the ice, and I felt like I was with somebody who knew what they were doing. We learn wisdom from those who have experience or through our own unfortunate experience. But some risks are too great to take, right? You want to fly an airplane, you don't just climb in an airplane and start flying, right? You may get off the ground, but you're not going to come back very well. No, you got to learn from somebody who knows how to fly. The risk is too great on your own. Verse 16 says, these days are evil. The point is God has wisdom for us so that we can learn the things we need to know in these evil days. And you know, the funny thing is, we don't even think these days are evil. Do these days seem evil to you? Somebody says yes. Well, for the most part, we don't think these are evil. It's a beautiful day outside. We all have our cars. We all had breakfast this morning, right? A novice can be out walking on the ice, and he thinks everything is just swell, all right? You don't see the danger, but it's there. Somebody with experience needs to point out what the danger is to you. God, the creator of all things, God is very aware of the spiritual battle that we are in, and we are not. He is the one that we need to be listening to. God says you live in a spiritual world. You don't know it, but you live in a spiritual world. And God tells us that there are spiritual forces in this world, and these are personal forces. I'm not talking about weak spots in the ice here. I'm talking about personalities. There are spiritual personalities that hate you. It's not like walking on the ice, being careful for the thinness. No, this is shadows under the ice that are looking for you. Do you know up in the Arctic Ocean, the Eskimos live on the ice. You know what one of the greatest dangers is? They know how to spot the thin spots on the ice. They know how to cross those ice leads and stuff. You know what they're afraid of? Killer whales. The killer whales swim under the ice, and they look up, and they see the shadows, and they think it's a sea lion or a seal. And then the killer whales come up through the ice and devour it. Okay? Eskimos are afraid of that. So when they're on the ice, they know. There are things below the ice that are looking for them. That's like these spiritual forces. They're out there. 1 Peter 5:8 says, be self-controlled, be alert, because your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Satan hates you completely. Why? First of all, because you are created in the image of God. Every person, whether they're saved or unsaved, is created in God's image, and Satan hates God. Secondly, because God loves you so much that he sent his son to die for you, that your sins could be forgiven and you can have eternal life. And because God loves you so much, Satan wants to destroy you. Satan is very cunning. The Bible tells us that he was wiser and more cunning than any angel in heaven. Revelation 12:9 says that Satan deceives the whole world. But then Revelation 12:11 goes on to say that Christians have overcome Satan by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of God. So you see, first of all, you're rescued from the dark, devilish forces in this world by Christ Jesus, who died for your sins so that you may be set free from Satan, and that you may have the righteousness of Christ before God, and that you may have eternal life. But secondly, God says he makes you wise through his word so that you can recognize the danger that you're in and you can walk carefully. You see, it's not enough to know about Christ and his saving work on the cross. You must be made wise through the word of God to see your own mortal danger and the evil day that we live in. And by the wisdom that God gives to you, repent and believe the good news. And also avoid the clever schemes of the devil, who seeks to trap you in sin. God says it's time to walk carefully. Carefully. He goes on to say that we need to redeem the time. Redeem the time. As soon as I read that, I was reminded of the Lord of the Rings trilogy, the classic movie that came out in the last 10 years, you know. The very first episode of which, one character is talking to another character, Gandalf is talking to Saruman, and he says that evil is breaking out, and evil has got plans to destroy the world. And he says, but we have time to prepare. And the other character, who has already been overcome by evil, he turns to him and he says, time? How much time do you think you have? How much time do you think you have? That's the question for our day. God says, redeem the time, for the day is evil. You know, when you're out on the lake of the woods, I've had many good friends tell me, because I've got a small boat and I like to go fishing. I haven't caught a thing this year, but I'm a lousy fisherman. Anyway, I've had good friends who warned me in that. They said, you know, you got that small boat, Pastor. You got to watch that lake. And when that wind shifts from the northwest to the southeast, you got to really be paying attention. You need to get off that lake. Because you got that little small boat, you need to get off earlier than others. Well, that's kind of what it means to redeem the time. It says make the most of the time that you have. Make the most of the time that you have, for these days are evil. The signs are everywhere for those who've gained wisdom through the word of God to see. God says to make the most of the time you have left. How do you do this? Well, first of all, verse 17 says, you make the most of the time you have by understanding the will of God. Verse 17. Therefore, do not be unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord is. What is the will of God? Well, Jesus told us in John 6:40, this is the will of God, that everyone who sees the Son of God and believes in him may have everlasting life and be raised up on the last day. And the Apostle Peter tells us in 2 Peter 3:9, the Lord is not willing that any should perish. In other words, he's willing that all, he wants everyone to come to repentance. This is the will of God. What's he telling us? He says, redeem the time. First of all, by knowing the will of God. God wants us to share the gospel with those who are lost in this world. There's not much time left. God wants people to hear the law. And he wants them to hear the gospel so that they can be freed from Satan's wicked deceptions. God wants people saved. And he tells us there's not much time left. Redeem the time. Make the most of it, he says. Friends, if you're not comfortable sharing your faith with someone who's not saved, then you've got to get back into God's Word, which is where wisdom comes from, and he will strengthen you so that you can share your faith with those who are lost in this world. But God also says, make the most of our time by staying away from the spirit of the world. Get off the thin ice. Get off the lake when the weather starts to turn. The Apostle Peter, again, he guides us in 1 Peter 4:3, and he says the same thing. He says, look, you, Christian, no longer live the rest of your time in the flesh for the lusts of men, but live for the will of God. For we have spent enough of our past life doing the will of pagans. When we walked in lewdness and lust and drunkenness and abominable idolatries, but the end of all things is at hand. Therefore, be serious and watchful in your prayers. Finally, God tells us that we should redeem the time by encouraging one another. Look what it says here. You know, it says, speak to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing, making melody in your heart to the Lord. This is no time for Christians to be bickering and arguing with one another about worldly things. This is no time for believers to be tearing each other down over anything in this world, arguing with one another. This is the time when we are fighting a spiritual battle and we need to be encouraging one another. God does not want his people walking out loose in the world either. You know, there are members of our congregation that are not here today. There are some members of our congregation that are almost never here. They're walking out in the world by themselves. God says we need to be encouraging one another. How are they being encouraged when they're not having fellowship with other Christians? How do we do that? We need to reach out to them, and we need to encourage them. Get back into the fellowship of the Lord. Get back into the fellowship of other believers. We're to sing together in order that hearts might be lifted up from the pain of this dying world. We're to sing together to glorify God. We're to remind each other that God has prepared a home for you in heaven. God tells us the enemy's on the move. These days are evil. That's what he says. These are evil days. And we need to get inside the fort of the church and help and encourage one another. He says it's time to walk carefully. Finally, the last thing he tells us in walking carefully, and this is very important. It's easy to brush over it. He says, in these days, remember to thank God for his provision. God knows the evil times that you live in. God knows the risks out there to your immortal souls. And God has provided everything that you need to walk carefully and to redeem the time. And in his word, God tells you, he says, no one, he says, if you've placed your trust in Jesus Christ, no one is able to snatch you out of the Father's hand. If you've heard the word of God, if you recognize your need for a Savior, and if you've asked Jesus to be your Savior, Satan can't touch you. Not your spiritual life. Oh, he can make trouble around you. He can make trouble around you, but he can't touch your soul. Sometimes people ask me, they say, Pastor, can a Christian be demon-possessed? No, a Christian cannot be demon-possessed. You are possessed by God. God is in you. And God is more powerful than Satan. But you can be harassed because Satan wants to trip you up. But remember this, nothing can snatch you out of the Father's hand. God says in Romans 8:31, if God is for you, who can be against you? Walk carefully It means that you know, no matter what the devil may throw at you, no matter what events may come in this fallen world, no matter what you may feel about yourself, remember, God has provided for you. He's provided your salvation, and as long as you hold on to your faith in Jesus Christ, no power can separate you from the love of God. Praise God for what He has done for you. Remember it. Don't let go of that. In your desperate hour, that will see you through. Remember this, because these are evil days. God is trying to wake us up that we are in times of crisis. He wants a little bit of adrenaline flowing here. He says it's time to walk carefully. Dear friends, your salvation has been secured by the Almighty God. And He calls each one of us to walk in wisdom of this sure truth. You can trust Him. You can trust His word. You are saved by grace through faith in Jesus Christ. He says, let this truth guide your life. Walk in this wisdom. Make the most of this time that you still have. Share the gospel. Praise God for His love. And praise God for His Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Amen. Our hymn in